Happy Wednesday, everyone. Today is January 27th, 2021, and welcome to Today in Sports History, the podcast that will make you the most interesting person at the water cooler, guaranteed. Without any further ado, let's get started. In 1894, the first college basketball game happens between the University of Chicago, who beats the Chicago YMCA, and the Barn Burner, 19-11. In 1924, apparently the greatest Olympian of all time that I've never heard of, Klaus Thunberg of Finland claims 3 gold medals in one day when he wins the 1,500 meter, 10,000 meter, and all-around speed skating events in the French Olympics. He also won the 5,000 meter the day before, as you heard yesterday. In 1954, Archie Moore beats Joe Maxim in a 15-round unanimous decision to retain his world light heavyweight boxing title at the Orange Bowl in Miami, Florida. It's the last of the famous trilogy of fights all won by Moore. 2 years later, in 1956, the New York Giants switched playing home games from the Polo Grounds in New York to Yankee Stadium. In 1966, Wisconsin State Circuit Court Judge Elmer W. Roller rules either the Braves stay in Milwaukee or the National League must promise Wisconsin an expansion team for 1966. In 1967, the New Orleans Saints signed their first player, Paige Carther, a kicker. And that set the tone for the franchise for the next couple of decades. In 1969, the great Chuck Knoll is named head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, the youngest coach in NFL history at the time. In 1970, the Pittsburgh Steelers draft Terry Bradshaw from Louisiana Tech. In 1973, the UCLA men's basketball team wins its 61st consecutive game. It was an NCAA record at the time. In 1982, the Los Angeles Kings set an NHL record with their 6th consecutive tied game, a 4-4 deadlock against the visiting Philadelphia Flyers. In 1989, Kevin Johnson of Phoenix begins his NBA free throw streak of 57 games. Also in 1989, the Detroit Red Wings center Steve Yzerman becomes the 4th NHL player to record 100 points in 50 games or less with a goal and 2 assists as the Red Wings beat Toronto 8-1. In 1992, Mike Tyson goes on trial for his rape charge. In 1995, Eric Cantona of Manchester United is fined and banned from playing soccer after attacking a fan. In 1998, the WNBA begins filling rosters of the Washington Mystics and the Detroit Shock. In 2013, 7 people are killed and 3 are injured after a retaining wall collapses during a soccer match at the U Sports facility in Turkey. And we'll be right back with our deep dive segment. Thanks for sticking around and welcome to our deep dive segment. Today we're going to look at a legendary quarterback who somehow survived one of the harshest times in the NFL. I'm talking about everybody's favorite comic relief commentator on Fox's NFL Sunday, Terry Bradshaw. In the 1970 NFL draft, Bradshaw was the first overall player selected by the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers drew the first pick in the draft after winning a coin flip tiebreaker with the Chicago Bears, due to both teams having identical 1-13 records in 1969. Bradshaw was hailed at the time as the consensus number one pick. Bradshaw became a starter in his second season after splitting time with Terry Hanratty in his rookie campaign. During his first few seasons, the 6'3", 215-pound quarterback was erratic, threw many interceptions, he threw 210 interceptions over the course of his career, and was wildly ridiculed by the media for his rural roots and perceived lack of intelligence. It took Bradshaw several seasons to adjust to the NFL, but he eventually led the Steelers to 8 AFC Central championships and 4 Super Bowl titles. That Pittsburgh Steelers team featured the Steel Curtain defense and a powerful running game led by Franco Harris and Rocky Blyer, but Bradshaw's strong arm gave them the threat of the deep pass, helping to loosen opposing defenses. In 1973, he threw the immaculate reception pass to Franco Harris to beat the Raiders in the AFC Divisional Playoffs, which is among the most famous plays in the NFL today. Bradshaw temporarily lost the starting job to Joe Gilliam in 1974, but he took it over again during the regular season. In the 1974 AFC Championship game against the Oakland Raiders, his fourth quarter touchdown pass to Len Swan proved to be the winning score in a 24-13 victory. In the Steelers' 16-6 Super Bowl IX victory over the Minnesota Vikings that followed, Bradshaw completed 9 of 14 passes, and his fourth quarter touchdown pass put the game out of reach and helped take the Steelers to their first Super Bowl victory. In Super Bowl X the following year, Bradshaw threw for 209 yards, most of them to Swan, as the Steelers beat the Dallas Cowboys 21-17. His late fourth quarter 64-yard touchdown pass to Swan, released a split second before defensive tackle Larry Cole flattened him, was selected by NFL Films as the greatest throw of all time. Neck and wrist injuries in 1976 forced Bradshaw to miss 4 games. He was sharp in a 40-14 victory over the Baltimore Colts, completing 14 of 18 passes for 264 yards and 3 touchdowns. But the Steelers' hopes of a three-peat ended when both of their 1,000-yard rushers, Franco Harris and Rocky Blyer, were injured in the win over the Colts, and the Steelers subsequently lost to the Oakland Raiders in the AFC Championship game 24-7. Jack Lambert asserted that the 1976 Steelers team was the best team that he ever played on, including the 4 Super Bowl teams of which he was a part of. Bradshaw had his finest season in 1978 when he was named the NFL's most valuable player by the Associated Press after a season in which he completed 207 of 368 passes for 2,915 yards and a league-leading 28 touchdown passes. He was also named All-Pro and All-AFC that year despite throwing 20 interceptions. Before Super Bowl XIII, a Steelers-Cowboys rematch, the Cowboys linebacker Thomas Hollywood Henderson famously ridiculed Bradshaw by saying he couldn't spell cat if you spotted him the C and the A. Bradshaw got his revenge by winning the Most Valuable Player award, completing 17 of 30 passes for a then-record 318 yards and 4 touchdowns in a 35-31 win. Bradshaw, in his later years, made light of the ridicule with quips such as, "It's football, not rocket science." Bradshaw won his second straight Super Bowl MVP award in 1979 in Super Bowl XIV. He passed for 309 yards and 2 touchdowns in a 31-19 win over the Los Angeles Rams. Early in the fourth quarter, with Pittsburgh down 19-17, Bradshaw again turned to the long pass that helped engineer a victory, a 73-yard touchdown to John Stallworth. Bradshaw shared Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year that season with fellow Pittsburgh star Willie Stargell, whose Pirates won the 1979 World Series. After 2 seasons of missing the playoffs, Bradshaw played through pain. He needed a cortisone shot before every game because of an elbow injury sustained during training camp and a strike-shortened 1982 NFL season. He still managed to tie for the most touchdown passes in the league with 17. In a 31-28 playoff loss to the San Diego Chargers, Bradshaw's last postseason game, he completed 28 of 39 passes for 325 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. After undergoing offseason elbow surgery, Bradshaw was idle for the first 14 games of the 1983 NFL season. Then, on December 10, 1983, against the New York Jets, he felt a pop in his elbow while throwing his final pass, a 10-yard touchdown to Calvin Sweeney in the second quarter of the Steelers' 34-7 win. Bradshaw later left the game and never played again. The 2 touchdowns Bradshaw threw in what would be his final game played at Shea Stadium and the last NFL game played in New York City proper to date allowed him to finish his career with 2 more touchdowns, 212, then interceptions, 210. Bradshaw's retirement came as a surprise to some, and in hindsight, unplanned on the Steelers' part. Before Bradshaw's elbow problems came about, the team chose to pass up Pitt quarterback Dan Marino in the 1983 NFL draft as an heir successor to Bradshaw, due in part to the head coach Chuck Knoll wanting to rebuild on defense, according to Bill Hillgrove, the Rooney family not wanting Marino to face a lot of pressure in his hometown and needing to experience life outside of Oakland, where Marino grew up and where Pitt is located. The player the Steelers drafted instead, Gabriel Rivera, only played 6 games before becoming a quadriplegic following a drunk driving accident, and Marino's subsequent success with the Miami Dolphins prompted Art Rooney to remind his sons daily until his death that the team should have drafted Marino. The decision also set the franchise back a quarterback. While the team would eventually return to being a Super Bowl contender after their rebuilding period during the mid-80s, the team wouldn't have a consistent quarterback until Ben Roethlisberger arrived in 2004. Although the Steelers have not officially retired Bradshaw's number 12, they have not reissued it since his retirement, and it is understood that no Steeler will ever wear it again. We want to thank you for joining us in this episode and hope to have you back for many more. Don't forget to subscribe however you're listening to us and follow and like us on all social media. We can be found at Sport History Pod. Again, our social media handle is at Sport History Pod. Thank you to Jason Shaw of Audionautics for the introduction music, and Laura Robin, our script editor and director. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.